second, I'm trying to record this. Okay, you will see the details of the energy sectors here. So the sector, the subsector, the member state, the region, and then the REC. And if you click on edit, or if you click on any project, just anywhere in the row, it will go to the project, which is in three parts. So the first part here, basic information on the project, which is title, sector, etc., subsector, member states, the region, etc. Here you will have the core of the project, which is the strategic alignment, which responds to all the details needed for the PIDA selection criteria. At the right, you will have the contact persons for these projects. And at the bottom here, you will see comments. So this is what is called the discussion forum. So you can use this, actually anybody who is a registered user can post a comment, a question, or reply to a comment, reply to a question. So this is a means of communication in this age of online working, which is a very organized way of documenting information. So for example, the project owner could raise an issue, a question, and colleagues, experts can review, can add their comments, which is logged. All this could be used as a peer review mechanism. Suppose you want to get comments from your colleagues, and you can use this as a peer review tool for them to comment, and it's visible to all that the people can react to it. So this is the discussion forum. We invite you to use this. It's moderated, so as soon as you post, it comes to us, and then we validate it. It appears here. So this is the process. Then in the project submission here, maybe I'll switch to French for now. Let's see if it works. Yes, it works even here. So en français, je vais peut-être continuer un peu en français. Donc ça c'est le site en français. En cliquant ici en haut à droite, toutes les menus s'affichent en français et vous avez ici soumission de projet, formulaire de soumission. C'est ça le processus pour faire actuellement la soumission. Donc c'est un menu très très, je dirais, intuitif, très graphique. Il y a d'abord les informations de base. Donc il faut sélectionner le secteur, un des quatre secteurs. Allons-y, on prend TIC. Dans le secteur, à ce moment-là, apparaît les sous-secteurs qu'il faut sélectionner. Allons-y, centre de données. Ensuite, il faut mettre les états membres participant au projet, les états bénéficiaires qui pas forcément les mêmes, et puis la CER, il peut y avoir plusieurs CER, et puis l'institution porteuse du projet, et vous pouvez enregistrer le brouillon. Et ensuite, vous cliquez suivant, vous passez au champ suivant, qui sont le corps du projet, et ainsi de suite. Donc ça, c'est pour la soumission de projet. On a vu téléchargement, on a vu événements, webinaires, etc. Donc, en gros, moi, je pense que le site est tellement interactif que jusqu'à maintenant, on n'a pas vraiment eu de problème de personnes qui ont eu des difficultés pour naviguer. Il faut seulement peut-être qu'on tombe d'accord sur les projets à soumettre et après, ça va être relativement facile. OK So Chris, I think that's all actually in terms of the functionalities of the website. This is the core of it. Unless participants have specific questions, we can address these questions on the submission process, the websites, and otherwise we can move on to the next item. So maybe we listen to the participants if there are hands raised or questions typed in the chat box at this stage on the website, the process, In terms of process, we said that we will continue with this. Although the initial deadline was 30th of April, we will continue with this series of webinars. Normally till end of mid of June, third week of June, whereby we hope we will get enough projects, then we will close the process end of June. This is what the task force has decided and it's being validated. And so we don't have much time left, only about maximum 40 days left, 39 days. So time is of the essence. We need now to zoom into the projects, start inputting the projects so that we, the task force members, have enough time to screen the projects, shortlist the projects, so that we can proceed with the ultimate objective of presenting this to the EU summit next year, for which everything has to be ready by end of September to meet the deadlines. So do we have any questions?
Before any whilst people think about their questions, Krishna, I was wondering if you would want to touch on the process of identifying and, you know, deciding which projects gets onto the website. I don't know if before I joined you had summarized the process and which projects get selected, or those have been, we are assuming those were covered in the capacity building workshops and webinars. And I hope we are on the same level with respect to the criteria that will be used to screen these projects for inclusion in the PDAPAP 2 by the task force.
Chris. The criteria haven't changed. What was presented during the training is still there, still valid. Everything is valid. There are two broadly there are two eligibility criteria. So maybe we can quickly summarize these two. The two criteria for eligibility in the PDAPAP 2 process to get in the long list of projects. First, the project must be part of a REC master plan documented in one of the master plans of the RECs, of any REC, or if it's not in a master plan, it has to have a very clear agreement among the members participating and beneficiary members, agreement, their signed agreement on this project, documented agreement. So these are broadly the two criteria, and also it has to be a cross-border, actually. It has to be a regional project. Or if it's a national project, for example, like a port, it must have a regional impact on the hinterland. For example, a port serving a hinterland would qualify, although it's in one country. So broadly, these are the broad criteria for a project to be eligible. And then once it is eligible, it goes in that long list. And per region, the allocation per region is 10 projects would be shortlisted, the 10 best projects, which best meet the selection criteria. So based on the 8 criteria, which were presented in the regional trainings, for those who didn't have the opportunity to follow these trainings, please register so that you can download the actual presentations and the reports. It's fairly straight, very simple. You can actually catch up, even if you didn't participate in the training, you can quickly catch up with this.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Krishna. Do we have any clarifications on this?
Yes, I want a clarification. When he said 10 projects per REX,
yeah,
is 10 projects for all the sectors or only 10 projects per sector?
Okay. Maybe you want to reply, Chris, or you want me to reply?
No, no, take the reply, please.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So it's actually 10 projects per region. And it happens that in the ECOWAS region, the region is equal to the REC. All the members are, most of the members actually, there's very, very few, probably no overlap. So region is equal to REC. And so 10, it's for the four sectors. To answer your question, it's for the four sectors. And I recall this is one of the remarks that was made during the Abuja workshop. Yakuba is here, maybe he can also comment. That there was a request that from ECOWAS members that since it's a large REC, many 15 countries, large population, 10 projects may not be representative. So we said what is important at this stage is to submit the projects. And if you submit a large number of very good quality projects, then this probably makes a case and the task force can consider. But the initial decision taken was by the STC and task force was that 10 per region, in your case per REC for ECOWAS across the four sectors.
Okay, once again, among these 10 projects, who will select the final 10 projects? The RECs or there is a particular committee will be set up, including the RECs, to select the projects?
Now, the selection, the shortlisting of the 10 out of the total submitted is done for this 8 criteria, the set of agreed criteria. This was the core of the training. It's very, very transparent set of criteria, very clear cut. And the task force will screen the projects, will rate, will mark the projects based on this criteria. It's actually an Excel sheet. And then they will also consult with the RECs. I know the RECs made a request to be involved, to be consulted at least by the task force. This is also possible. But the ultimate decision, the task force will establish this list based on the criteria and then submit for further approval to the PIDA steering committee and STC, etc.
Sorry, hello?
Yes, please introduce yourself and then your question.
Hello? Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
You go on.
Yes, please. Yes, my name is Engineer Ibrahim Wilson, Director of the ECOWAS Water Resources Management Center in Ouagadougou, Burkina Faso.
Oh. Thanks, thanks for joining us. Yes.
Thank you. Yes, I tried to make sure I attend at least an hour of this meeting because I've got another meeting at 11. Thank you very much for this webinar. I think it's very useful. I'm sorry I've not been able to be attending some of these training and workshops and what have you, but Jean-Ville Bazoum, as you are aware, has been participating very well. Very interesting. I have actually followed through the past 5 minutes what you have discussed. Now, the only thing I want some clarification on is actually how would you categorize a cross-sector project? What do I mean by that? If you have an hydroelectric project, for example, yes, which uses water that transcends the boundaries of two countries. So it's either a water project, but at the same time, it's an energy project. In other words, what I want to understand, what I want to get clear is it crosses the two sectors, energy and the water transcends the boundaries of two countries in West Africa. How would such a project be considered? Thank you very much.
Yes, I think this is a good question. Maybe I'll have a try first and then I will let Chris complete the answer. So I think let's look at the, since we're connected to the website, let's take a closer look actually. It also depends on the subsector actually. So if, for example, if you have a water project, let's look at the subcategories of transboundary water. You would, in any case, have to pick one of these subsectors, which are irrigation dams, multipurpose dams, regulatory dams, or probably regulation dams, and water transfer. And then if you look at the energy sector, it is this sector. So, and out of this, the relevant one would be generation hydro. So I think what we need is to identify what is the core, what is the core of the project. If a project is primarily destined at hydropower, then I think we should choose the generation hydro. But if it's if there are very, very different multipurpose dam, there's also this multipurpose dam which we can I think somebody's requesting control of the remote screen. Ango Usman? No. Okay, sorry.
It may be a mistake, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I think that's the reply actually. We need to look at the project itself and determine what is the main purpose of the project and select the sector and subsector based on that. But definitely there is an opening here for multipurpose dam. If the same project is used for irrigation and hydropower and regulation, storage, irrigation, etc., then that multipurpose dam could be actually a better choice than hydro generation. Maybe Chris, do you want to add something?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Just before that, I'd want to recognize that we are also reading some questions in the chat section, so we'll be coming to that. Engineer Ngozi, we've seen your question. We'll come to that shortly. Okay. Yes, I think you've touched on that, but I would want to even go to what makes a project likely to be shortlisted at this. What's the name of the task committee level? And let me quickly share. You cannot start sharing. Can you please drop yours, Krishna? Okay, good. Yes, there is this document. I'm sure most of us have it. We received from the African Union Commission. Which is the strategy note for the process of the PDAPAP 2 project identification, selection, and selection process. This was well looked at during the Abuja workshop. Now, if you go to page 15, you see a summary of, yes, the criteria, a summary of the criteria table that will be used to select this project. And to just focus on the question from Wilson from our Water Resources Center, one of the heaviest criterion aside the economic impact is the what they call the integrated corridor criterion, or here is corridor planning. But what it's saying is that one of the main focus of the PDAPAP 2 projects is to ensure using the integrated corridor approach. And by integrated corridor, they are looking at projects that bring together several sectors and also ensure an integrated development of the space. So once you get to the scoring at the task force level, we are going to see projects like the one you mentioned scoring very high, because from the outset, they cut across several subsectors. So even for our corridor projects, those that could be packaged to include a road component, a railway component, and maybe a fiber optic line along it, as well as some transmission lines, would be scoring very high with this criterion. So I said this so that you have an idea And that's why I asked Krishna to touch on the process for the selection, identification and selection, so that we don't submit projects which will be dead on arrival. They are going to go through all these criteria, and we must be mindful that apart from the first group of criteria, which is the regional project or a clear agreement between concerned member states, it has to pass that before it even goes through the other parts of the criterion. So your question was very valid, and such projects are very, very much encouraged. In addition to what Dr. Krishna also shared, in selecting the sub-sectors within the transboundary water sector, you also be completing the other parts of the template, which will give the task force information on the cross-cutting nature of the project, and hence the likelihood of it to score very high in that regard. So this is just what I wanted to add. Krishna, I hope I haven't made a mistake. You are the lecturer in this regard.
I know. Thank you very much, Chris. I just want to quickly come in again. I think the clarification I got from you and from Krishna is very well noted, and I do appreciate that. But then, after you've explained that, the second thing I want to know clearly is not only, you know, the corridor between member states, as it were, but also cross-sectorial, like I made mention of the hydropower and the, you know, transboundary water resources management. How would such a project be counted? Would it be counted as one project, or is going to be counted as two projects, i.e. an energy project and a water project? Thank you.
No. Krishna, please.
Yeah. I think projects will only be counted as one project with multiple components or multiple sectors served. But ultimately, a project is a dam, or any project is one project. It may have impacts in different sectors. It may cut across several sectors. And as we said, it is actually encouraged. It is highly encouraged that these projects should be multi-sectoral and to promote this corridor approach and an integrated approach, actually. This is what is meant by integrated, actually. So corridor is more the logistics connotation, but there's also the integrated has two connotations. One is multi-sectoral, second is the economics impact. So you will see from the list projected from the 8 criteria, you have jobs, gender, climate. So this is the integrated part. So to answer your question, if any project is one project. We just need to identify what is the main sector and subsector, but ultimately it's one project. It counts as one project. I hope that clarifies.
All right, yeah, well, that clarifies it. Thank you very, very much. Thank you. Okay.
I've seen Ngozi from Nigeria asking, Krishna, this for your attention. Please confirm in the comments of the submission form, of the project submission form, please confirm if the comment section of the project submission form is to be filled by others other than the official who made the entry.
Yes, definitely, actually. The comment is the public, not the public, but the semi-public part, actually. It's the part which is accessible to the registered users, not public, actually. It's not this is never public. It's only accessible to those who have been provided access. And for your information, we had some cases of private sector people trying to register, which we did not. It was agreed that we will not provide access to them at this stage, because this is more or less reserved to either the official focal points or the colleagues who attended the trainings. It was decided to broaden, actually, because in this age of COVID and lockdowns, etc., why not enable more people, government officials, partners, institutions, specialized institutions to bring them on board for this platform, online platform. But the to answer your question specifically, that comment section is open for discussion to the whole group, to this internal group of registered users. This is what they can use to communicate on that specific project, which is then visible to all registered users. But the owner, the project owner, would focus on the core, on the forms themselves, on the core of the project. That is the mandatory fields of the project. But the comment is the communication, is the discussion forum around the project.
Okay, thank you very much. Any other questions? Okay, so I think we can to the next section. Krishna, is that okay?
Yes, great. I think we should move on to the next item, which is the core actually of the webinar. And then we can, maybe that will raise a lot of questions.
Okay, all right. So just to give a short background that one of the key difference between the PIDAPAP 1 and PIDAPAP 2 is the direction of project identification. Those of us who were part of PIDA from 2011 would remember that the preparation of the priority action plan was based on a study by consultants who went around the countries, picked them, and we had several workshops at the continental and regional levels to validate these projects, out of which the priority action plan was prepared. So from the outset with PIDA, it followed the regional or continental approach to identifying projects. Now with PIDAPAP 2, the key focus is to place PIDA to support the attainment of the Agenda 2063 of the African Union. And for that matter, the long-term agenda for Africa in terms of development and economic development. This has called for a relook at the project identification and selection. So a great deal of focus was placed on ownership and inclusivity of the project owners, which are the member states of the African Union. So, and that has called for the process that the AU has been following, you know, making sure that the projects are coming from the countries and not projects being identified somewhere and forcing on the countries. At the same time, the global objective is that once all these projects in PIDA are implemented, inshallah, we would have the desired economic growth rate that has been projected for the African continent, which ranges around 6% growth in GDP per annum, which was one of the tenets of PIDA. So whilst focus on member states identifying and owning the projects, we also look at the end products, meaning that once all these projects are implemented, Africa would be the overall winner. And that is why we place emphasis on the regional nature of projects as opposed to country-specific projects. So with this in mind, the first point we have to all note is that the project identification belongs to the countries. No two ways about that. Now, when it comes to the business of African Union, They also have a structure which builds on the building blocks made up of the regional communities. So the 8 identified communities, ECOWAS being part of it, are supposed to also coordinate the member states at that, you know, micro level before we all converge at the African Union level. So for West Africa, ECOWAS is expected to ensure the coordination of project identification at the member state level and submission to the African Union. The process of doing this can be in several forms. In some recs, as Krishna has said, the submission rights are granted to a lot of member states who have the focal persons for this project. Once the submission is done, the recs will have the right to sort of validate the projects before submitting to the African Union for the task force to the committee to consider them against the multi-criteria analysis. In ECOWAS, we are luckily, before that, as we have seen, there's an eligibility criteria. That is the first set of criteria to be met even before the AU starts looking at it. The eligibility criteria is what Krishna said. One is that it should be a regional project. Regional project meaning it's a regional project or it's a national project that has impact on 2 or 3 countries. So in order not to make this just an academic exercise of posting projects on a website to give somebody extra work to review and select, we have to limit the possibilities of submitting, permit me to use inappropriate projects based on the criteria we are looking at, you know, just for submission's sake. Luckily for ECOWAS, the eligibility criteria on regional projects said that it should be part of a regional master plan. Luckily for us, we have several of these regional master plans, which were not developed by the ECOWAS Commission or any of the agencies. They were developed with submissions from the member states before even the PIDAPAP 2 project process began. So the ECOWAS workshop to build the capacity of member states on the process was held on 27th and 28th February. Exactly a week before that, the ECOWAS Commission and the sub-regional body called the UEMOA Commission met in Dakar with all the 15 member states. A majority of the sector experts were there, as well as our foreign affairs ministries where the regional integration their officers are. And the exercise looked at a criteria to select the region's priority projects based on a similar criteria as what PIDA is using. This was done on the 21st of February, so just a week before we did the PIDAPAP workshop. And if you look on the screen, just so we are all in line with, this is a copy of the signed report, and on the section of presentation of criteria for the selection of regional priority projects, the two regional organizations, ECOWAS and UEMOA, or WIMO, the English version, looked at all the projects we have in our various master plans. And let me quickly remark that this work was basically on 3 sectors. The water sector was to do some extra work before submitting their projects. So this was transport, energy, telecoms. So we looked at, and if you look here, it says the criteria included items on inclusiveness of the project as part of a sector master plan or regional strategic document, maturity of the project, availability of partners, and compliance with the PIDAPAP 2 strategy, which covers job creation, gender, environment, etc. So we did an exercise, we looked at the criteria, regional integration, we broke it down, we scored it. Part of a regional master plan, we broke it down, we scored it. The project maturity, we looked at that. Availability of partners, we looked at that. Then compliance with the African Union PIDAPAP 2 strategy. We also looked at some very important criterion in the PIDAPAP 2 criteria, which will be used to select the projects at that stage when we submit them. So based on this, we agreed on a set of projects. And as I started, as ECOWAS, we fully recognize the need to emphasize that the projects should be projects that the owners, that is the member states, want. The only thing we are also indicating is that the process of identifying these projects and making them more acceptable is very relevant. So based on that, we came to a conclusion of some projects which were taken from the various regional master plans, as well as country projects that were added there, and taken through the criteria I shared with you and scored and ranked. So you know, we had about 52 projects in transport, energy, and digital economy or telecommunication, as we know, we popularly know it to be. So based on that, when we met in Abuja with the AUC, the ADB, and all the partners, NEPAD, AUDA, and all the partners, we recalled the work we've already done in the region and agreed there that these will serve as the basis. And this wasn't the agreement by ECOWAS. That this will serve as the basis for identifying and submitting projects to the AUC through the website. So this is a copy of the report from the Abuja workshop. And if you look at the conclusions and feedback, actually, member states agreed for projects proposals to be submitted by the ECOWAS focal persons actually before 30th April. But we all know the circumstances that have come up. After consultation with the member states, again, that's a very, very important part of the conclusions. So the plan of ECOWAS was to write to all countries, attach the project list as agreed between ECOWAS, UEMOA, and our member states, and ask member states for their, let me say, second level of concurrence for this to serve as the basis for which we will load them onto the website. In addition to this, if there are any recent projects in the countries that have come up and meet the eligibility criteria of a regional project or country project with multi-country MOUs signed, those projects could be suggested. Unfortunately, because of the working from home and other logistical reasons, we've not sent these projects to member states yet. So when the idea came that now with the way of doing business, we could touch on this process again during this webinar to with our member states, that this is the process and this is what we have ready. And we're also mindful of the deadlines, that even with the extended deadline, we have very short time. So once these projects are validated again, because they are already validated anyway, then we will start with the process of loading them onto the website. And the loading will be done by focal persons in the ECOWAS Commission, as well as project-specific focal persons in member states where some of these projects are being run from. So it's not ECOWAS as a secretariat which is doing this on behalf of member states, no. There's a need to ensure coordination. There's a need to ensure a regional response to some of these things, as we all know. So that is us playing the role of a secretariat to all of you, and ensure that we get as many projects as possible after the usage of the criteria by the task force. So I'm not sure if we have time. We could quickly go through these projects. I will take the transport section, and my colleagues will take the other sector sections. Krishna, will this be okay?
Would you allow me a minute? Sorry, as I told you at the beginning, I really don't have much time. I want to quickly ask a question to help me with my ignorance. Is that possible, please?
Please, yes, go ahead.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. It's a very, very rich discussion I see going on here this morning. But what I want to share with you all is that, take for example, if we have like all what you've just explained and I've noted that on paper, if we have like an energy project, generation project, for example, be it hydro, be it gas-fired power plant, be it oil-fired power, what have you, in a particular country, take for example, we have a project that is called CLSG, Cote d'Ivoire, Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Guinea. It's an interconnection project, okay? But that generation is going to be done in Cote d'Ivoire because they've got the capacity to generate. But then transmission will be done to the other three countries, three member states, Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Guinea. So that qualifies it to be a regional project, correct?
Yes.
So that being the case, my worry, not worry per se, but my concern is what is the modus operandi of the O and M of such a project, considering the fact that certain facilities, once they are built in your own country, the normal tendency for us is to think that we own it as a country, in as much as it's a regional project, with all the considerations we have for it to be qualified as a regional project, but at the same time, it is built in a particular country. So my worry is, how do we manage the modus operandi of the O and the M of such a project? Please, if you can throw some light on that, I will be happy. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Olsen. Was there another comment? Somebody was... Okay. So, Director Olsen, I think, you know, we may have to revisit the modus operandi for identifying and packaging some of these projects as a region. For starters, because you use the project in the energy sector, and we have our colleagues in WAP with us, please feel free to come in as you wish. We know in 2019, the West Africa Power Pool worked with all the member states to come up with their revised WAP master plan. Now, this master plan identified with the member states, the owners, a list of priority projects that will be implemented over a period, I think it's 15 years, or yes, 15 years. So right from the outset, the identification is done with the countries. Now the O&M you are asking goes downstream where the project has been prepared and the project structure is clearly defined. So you know who are the partners, who are the, if it's a PPP, the equity and all that. I don't think we are there yet. For now, the ownership, if it's a cross-border project, there are case-by-case basis where project structures are established. Like the CLSG you mentioned, I know they have established the CLSG Secretariat, which is headquartered in Cote d'Ivoire. This is a project body which is autonomous and implementing the project based on the preparatory packaging structure that was done. The same goes with the road projects. For instance, for Abidjan-Lagos Corridor project, ECOWAS is championing it now, but eventually we're going to have a corridor authority which has been given the powers to implement on behalf of the five countries. So those are downstream arrangements that will be made. But what is relevant today in order for us to coordinate the submission of projects for consideration in the PIDAPAP 2 is to make sure that the projects that we identify would score favorably against the criteria that will be used. And for me, the most important is the first two of these criteria, which still remains the regional integration criteria, because once we feel that it won't be even considered for the follow-up economic and financial criteria. So first we have to agree that it meets the eligibility criteria, and that is why I spent so much time reminding us that we've done a process that will make most of our projects pass that hurdle, because we've already done a similar exercise to bring it to that. So in summary, the O&M, the ownership and all that will come when project-specific preparatory activities have been done. We've done the feasibility, detailed design, the financial advisory consultants, services and all that to package these projects. That one will be known. But for now, the focus should be on which sector is being is leading the submission. Should it be a regional project? Does it pass that one? And who in the region, member states, experts, REC, focal persons, would help get the right information on the website? PPDU, if you want to add something to that, WAP, if you want to add something to that, please go ahead.
Much appreciated. Thank you very much, Chris. Much appreciated.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you. Any other comments? Should we go through the projects or our time? Yes, please.
Are we okay? Do you still want us to make a comment on what you just said now?
Please, yes. Go ahead. It's for the clarification of all of us.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Director Wilson, I think just as Chris said, the most important aspect is we're considering this as the project as a whole. Then the details of the project structuring or how it is the business model for the project will build itself, will account for itself, because O&M is part of the project. Whether it is a single project in one country or is a project in multiple countries, O&M is part of operations. So you will not necessarily need to split it in terms of its qualification for PIDAPAP 2 project. It will form part of what we will do in an evaluation for economic and financial analysis of the project, so that we'll know how it ranks in terms of its commercial operations, and that's for financing. But as a project itself, we want to take a look at it in terms of regional benefit and how it qualifies in the ranking of the projects that we will need to submit. We have just a short list of 10 for now, which we are requesting from the AU to increase for the purpose of the number of countries that we have, for the reason of the number of countries that we have here. I hope this will be of value to you, particularly because the water sector is still not included here, and that will form part of the considerations as you propose our regional water projects. Thank you. Also, in terms of the projects that have major combinations with the energy sector, particularly dams, I think you will also need to work with WAP to ensure that the projects you submit are not included already in the WAP project, so that you can dimension it together. The more the sectors that are incorporated in a project, the higher it will rank in terms of the suitability as a regional project. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Much appreciated. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Maybe, Chris, I would like just to make a suggestion, because you mentioned that in the COVID period and lockdowns and all that, we've noted also that this has slowed down things across Africa. But this is precisely, you must realize one important thing, actually. The process we presented, the website, is not, like cast in stone. It doesn't mean that if a project is submitted on the website, you can't roll back on this project. Because, as you know, the final validation, submit, this is the, we have to understand what the submit means. There may be two stages or maybe multiple stages of submission. I would suggest, please try to consider this actually with your members. If you think that the website facility could be used as a platform for discussion, one possibility would be to just upload everything you have, even the full list of projects that you're considering on the website, and then use the platform, the discussion forum, to discuss, to communicate with the members, so that then at the last stage, once there is clarity, there is consensus that this is validated or this is put on the back burner for later, then the ECOWAS focal points, you and your team, whoever is appointed as REC focal points, can then do the final validation so that they get in the actual submitted list of PIDA projects. So please try to consider, because if the risk, the danger I can see, the risk is that we tend to send projects by email or whatever to the countries, and then people don't have access to their mails, and this gets stuck somewhere, and then we end up, 1 week before the deadline, having to submit 50 projects. So instead of running this risk, one option is to just put everything on the website, start discussing, using the website, the discussion forum to discuss, and then at the last minute say, okay, out of this list that we put, we will only select the first top X number of projects. And this is always reserved to you and your team, actually. You have the final say, the final word. So this is a suggestion I'm making to simplify the process, to accelerate the process, and actually to use this functionality we implemented on the website, instead of, doing everything outside and at the last minute trying to input everything. Thank you.
Very, very, very well noted. And that helps the process, actually. So we right after this workshop, we will start the process, and take advantage of the chat facility. So just to quickly share once again with our member states, some of the projects that we looked at. So in the transport sector, I'm sorry, let me just
we can't see your screen yet, Dan. Please share your screen.
Okay. Yes. So in the transport sector, as I already explained, that we used a very rigorous criteria to look at this. So the third column, which says points, shows the points that the project scored when we took it through that the criteria that I shared earlier. So in the area of transport, we had the Abidjan-Lagos corridor projects scoring high, because that's ongoing. The studies are on course. Treaty has already been signed and all that. So then we have the Abidjan-Yamoussoukro-Ouagadougou highway with extension to Bamako. That is also ongoing. Then we have the Praia-Dakar-Abidjan corridor project. Sections already have feasibilities done, and there's a treaty signed by the heads of states themselves. All eight heads of states have signed a treaty to build a multi-lane highway from Dakar to Abidjan, as well as establish a shipping line from Dakar to Praia, Cape Verde, which is one of the highest priority we have as a region now, because our only island country, Cape Verde, is cut off in so many, you know, natural ways. Then we have the Lagos Kano Zenda Agadez corridor. This is one of the south-north corridors feeding landlocked countries to a port. We also have the Dakar Bamako Ouagadougou Niamey Kano, all the way to the Chad border corridor. That's a Trans-Sahelian. That also came in fifth. Then we have the Ouadara Ango Usman is requesting remote control of your screen. Mr. Usman, please, if you want me to enlarge it, just drop me a note. Let me see if it can be. Yes, okay. So we have the Ouadara Banfora Gawa to the Cote d'Ivoire border project. We also have the Lome Ouaga Highway, or expressway as they say it in French, or they term it in French. Then they have the Cotonou as well. So in the area of road transport, these are the projects, and you will not find the small road projects in between cities and in between countries. No, we ECOWAS have gone the corridor approach for some years now. So whatever we do seeks to look at the comprehensive development of these corridors to bring on board a higher levels of economic development in the zones of influence. So these are the transport projects. In the area of railway, we have the popular Bouc Ferroviaire, that is the ring railway loop which connects Lome, Cotonou, Niamey, Ouaga, and Abidjan. Technical studies have been done for it. There's been even some concession agreements which haven't gone well, but a lot of work has been done on it. So it's called highest. Then we have the Burkina Faso, Ghana, that's the Tema to Ouagadougou railway project. The two countries have already signed an MOU. They've even advertised for the technical studies, consultancy services for the technical studies. So this was also, in fact, this wasn't in the master plan initially. But when we met in Dakar, the project was presented, and when we took it through the criteria, it got selected. So as I said, we are not just looking at regional master plans, but projects initiated by countries that also have the what it takes to meet the criteria. Then we have the Dakar-Bamako Railway Project. Studies are ongoing for this. Clear MOU signed. The World Bank is already supporting ECOWAS and the countries on this. We have the Bamako-Bugunisi-Kaso-Bangolondugu Project. That is an extension of the Dakar-Bamako project. We have San Pedro-Bugini-Bamako. It's the same railway link that comes all the way to the coastal city of San Pedro. Then we have some joint border post projects, or OSBP, one stop border post, as it's called in the south and east part of Africa. We have PAGA already designed. We have Bow Water Side between Liberia and Sierra Leone. An agreement has already been signed on this. ECOWAS has started work on this. Diboli Impact are also identified for development. In air transport, we have development of air navigation services. The ANSPS facilities in the region needs to be up to ensure the required level of safety and security. We also have, from several studies we've conducted on the cost of air transport in the region, we realized that greater part of the operation cost goes into the maintenance of aircrafts, which the region doesn't have any very well established, you know, job. So we are looking to support the private sector to do this. This was also selected. Then leasing of aircrafts is also a big component of the cost of operations for airlines. So that was also selected for air transport. Maritime transport, as I said, one of the key priorities of the region now is to connect VET to the mainland West Africa, which is through Dakar and the other ports. So we have the Praia Dakar shipping and maritime link. Feasibility studies have been completed. We are in the process of securing funds for the financial transaction study to get the private sector to run this. We have the Port of Buba, also a project located in one country, but with very, very influential links to the landlord countries of Mali and the northern part of Guinea-Bissau, Guinea-Conakry. Banjul Dry Port is also another of these, which links with the landlord countries on the Sahel, West Africa Sahel. So these are projects that we have, that were presented, accepted at the Dakar Forum, and touched on again at the Abuja workshop, for which were highlighted as a good basis for our submissions for PIDA Part 2. For energy, our colleagues from Energy OWAP, can you quickly take us through your projects, then we go to telecoms, please. And just before that, before we lose Director Wilson with the Water Resources Center, from Dakar, we were made to know that ECOWAS and UEMA Water Resources Directorates will be meeting with their focal points and the river basins to sort of propose the priority project. So please, if you can make that ready to share with all of us so we have an idea of the projects we will be looking at for submission. Energy? Is Amadou of WAP with us? Hello, can you hear me?
Okay.
Sorry, who is talking? Hello?
Chris, I think WAP probably left. There was someone from WAP.
Right? Okay, so maybe you can go on. You can present, Chris. No problem. Just go on and present the list. And actually, I have maybe a question. You know the AID, Africa Infrastructure Database. Are some of these projects already there, or these are not yet in that database?
Some of these projects are already there. In fact, most of them, because maybe in different, because in the AID, for instance, you find, because of the way the projects were loaded, and again, that is something we are trying to avoid in this process. We had, for instance, the Abidjan-Lagos corridor. If you look in AID, you will see Abidjan-Lagos corridor, Togo section, Abidjan-Lagos corridor, Nigeria section. That's something we are trying to avoid. We are taking these projects as they have been conceived in the region. So that may be some of the differences you'll find in the AID, but they most of these are already there. With the energy projects, these are revised as of last year. So I can't confirm that, but most of the transport, railway, all those projects are already there because they are in master plans, which is a while back. Some have been revised, but so they are there, maybe in different forms.
Okay, noted. Please go on. Okay, go on with the energy sector.
Yes. Okay. For the energy sector, so we have the Ghana Burkina Mali interconnection scoring highest. That's already ongoing. Then we have the reinforcement of the Nigeria-Benin interconnection line. Then we have the regional solar park project in Burkina Faso. So this is also a project located in one country, but of regional influence. Then they have one in Mali as well. Then we have the Cote d'Ivoire-Liberia interconnection project. I think Wilson had mentioned this under the CLSG earlier. Then we have the St. Paul River hydroelectric development project located in Liberia with a potential of 1,000 megawatt generation capacity. Then we have the hydroelectric power plant in Niger, Kandaji. That's also been identified in the WAP master plan. Then there's this novel project called the Rural Electrification Project, targeted at powering about 20,000 villages in ECOWAS. So this is also a very high priority project at the ECOWAS Commission level, being championed by the WAP as well. Then we have the gas power plant, Project Initiative 2020. Then we have the extension of the West Africa Gas Power Project, which is expected to be from Cote d'Ivoire to Senegal, but the first phase is the extension from Cote d'Ivoire to Burkina Faso. The initial studies have been completed by our project preparation and development unit, together with the power pool and the commission. Then we have the Bouake Sika Subobo Diolaso pipeline. Then we have the Fomi hydroelectric power station. This is a classic example of what the director of water resources was mentioning. It has several components. Then we have the
Poga Pompiega Zano project, another solar park in the Gambia, a hydroelectric power station of Kukutamba, 294 megawatt generation capacity. Then we have the Cote d'Ivoire Guinea interconnection project. Then we have the Sao Kadaman thermal power station, also in the master plan, selected as well. Then we have the Nigeria Benin Togo Ghana Cote d'Ivoire interconnection project. Then the Loga 1 and 2 power station, hydroelectric power station projects. Then the Saltino hydroelectric dam, as well as studies on the interconnection of Kivet Islands. That is has not applicable because of the peculiar nature of Kivet to go through the scoring that we had in the criteria. So these are the projects in the energy sector that were agreed on between member states, ECOWAS and UEMOA, to be on the priority list. Yeah, so let me call on the director for digital economy. Dr. Kofi, please go take on the digital economy projects.
Okay, thank you. Chris, on digital economy, telecommunication and digital economy, we have, I think, 8 projects. And the one we mark first is cybersecurity and fight against cybercrime. It can be surprising.
I think, to be fair, if you can present yours in French, so we will have some balance.
Okay, there is no interpretation. It's because Madame Ngozi is connected. I try to present in English.
She's okay. Maybe you can balance it. Please go ahead. Yes. Ask
the question. Okay, the one we mark first is cybersecurity and cybercrime. For many people, maybe they will say that is not a physical project, but it has some physical component, and it was marked first because we just presented a lot of infrastructure projects like such as port, airport, town, energy center. All this infrastructure needs to be protected. Right now, the cyber attacks are growing, and without a good protection of this critical infrastructure, it will be very, very a big issue if one of these infrastructure are attacked. It's why this project was called almost is score 100%. The second one is to reinforce our enabling environment. The ICT sector in general is the more liberalized sector. So there are a lot of private actors, and we need a good enabling environment to be regulate fairly this sector for the benefit of our citizens and also for businesses. The third one is the very important project, a submarine cable project that aims to connect Cabo Verde to the countries on the continent, namely Guinea-Bissau, the Gambia, Guinea-Bissau, Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone. Right now, Sierra Leone, Liberia, Guinea, and the Gambia have only one landing point. And this project can secure with a second landing point. Guinea-Bissau doesn't have a landing point yet, even though they explained to me that they are almost at 80% to complete a landing point with ACE. So in addition to having two landing points for these countries, we'll have a second route through Cabo Verde via Ella Link submarine cable that connects Brazil to Portugal. So this is a very important project. Another important infrastructure, terrestrial infrastructure project is the construction of the fiber optic linking Lagos to Algiers via Zinde. I think Madam Ngozi submits this project, but she focuses on Nigeria parts. And I discussed with Chris and say we need to take it as a global project, not as a country level project. So the fiber optic will connect Nigeria to Algeria. So it's not only ECOWAS regional project, but like a continental project because it links two RECs, UMA and ECOWAS. The fifth one is establishment of internet exchange points. This is a project submitted by our colleague from UMOA. And yes, we know that all the members need to have a landing, a internet exchange point at national level so they can reduce the cost of internet access. This sixth one is the development of a national backbone in Guinea-Bissau and Liberia. Right now, these two countries don't have a national backbone. So without a national backbone in these two countries, we will not have a complete regional backbone that interconnects all ECOWAS member states. So this is why they are very important for us to get a complete regional terrestrial broadband network. The seventh one is, this is a small project to connect Benin to Togo. This project was submitted by our colleague from WIMO to secure the existing link between Togo and Benin. And the last one, and not the least, is a promotion of the digital entrepreneurship of youth and for the development of numerical competencies. Our youth, ECOWAS, have a big population, Unfortunately, without job, they are trying to move to Europe with all the risk, how many deaths we have in the sea because they don't have a job, they want to go abroad to find a job. So this project is to assist them to have their own business as far as they have capacity and to use ICT facilities and to develop themselves set up their own business and also to create small jobs in their business. Yes, this is the eight projects we agree on in Dakar for ICT sector. I'm asking the question about the number of projects because ICT sector project, we have a lot of projects, but we select really those who are very key for our region. So I hope during your selection, I don't know the task, who is a member of the task force. I hope that ICT people will be member of task force, otherwise we'll reject your decision. Thank you.
Doug, thanks for your friendly threat of rejection. I know we will not get there. Okay, thank you very much, Doug. Our colleagues from the Water Resources Center would the transboundary water project. Director Aljari,
Please go ahead.
Hello, Chris.
Yes, you are on.
Yeah. Can I go in English or French? My English is not very well. Okay.
French, I think. Yeah, French.
Okay. I will start in English and continue in French.
Excellent.
Yeah, as it was agreed in Dakar that if WIMU, we need to work and to move ahead to see how we can identify some projects, regional projects on water transboundary sector. When we came back, I sent a message. I think I did a mistake to missing to put you in copy to the two co-presidents from WIMU and from our side, Jerome. But I didn't get the feedback, and I got attached also with our counterpart in Water Resource, the Directorate, Environment and Water Resource Directorate, and they told me that they are not aware, even they were not aware about the meeting in Dakar, and so. And later, due to many circumstances, we couldn't move ahead. But what is sure is that before that meeting, ECOWAS is some regional partners and member states are attending the PIDA meeting. And there is some situation. And I think it's last week or the upper week, we discussed a few about how we need to improve the agenda in the water resource sector. And it was last week for the African Union meeting on water resources, PIDA on water resources. And tomorrow they have another one again. And also we couldn't have time to involve all the focal point of the member states because the time was very short for those video conference. And we think that and last time we tried to prepare a presentation of the situation in on what we know here with the partners located in Ouaga here, what we the current situation which need to be improved, and the presentation will I think is the that presentation will be made tomorrow at the meeting specific on sector a water sector with African Union. And regarding the situation of the water sector, I want to request your support as coordinator in ECOWAS side. And we are going to meet to discuss internally in our directorate with the institution which based in Ouaga here. We have a specific Volta Basin Authority and GWP West Africa specific. There are other, but they are not. We have the national the country authorities also to request your support to move ahead by having a video conference next week at the time we can agree together to with you and the PPDU colleague to support us. I think the last meeting which happened in Cairo is my colleague Bazoun who attended with some colleague from Volta River Basin Authority and GWP West Africa. And my colleague, our colleague Shukumbi from PPDU also attend that meeting. And I think their presence in that meeting also is good for us to move ahead. Because in our side, we have some hard concern and some soft concern regarding the creation of the how we can call enable environment for the better management of transboundary water resources, and we have the hard O, as you know. Then I think for our meeting next week, we can happen next week if possible, early. We can discuss on those things, and to see what can be submit to you, and to go ahead with that. We still have a lot to do, but I think I will stop there. If one colleague from other partners or National Procal Fund or River Basin Authority can come in to say something, I think I will stop here. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Monsieur Jerry, you said you were going to say part in French.
Yeah.
Just a summary.
Summary. Okay, bon. En fait, à la réunion de Dakar qui a réuni l'UMOA et la CDAO, les collègues des ressources en eau, autant des pays que de l'UMOA, n'étaient pas présents. Donc, nous avons suivi les choses par rapport aux critères de sélection et autres et tout. Et il avait été convenu qu'après, on puisse travailler pour renseigner sur la situation en ce qui concerne les ressources en eau. Bon, comme je l'ai dit tout à l'heure, quelques temps après mon retour, j'avais envoyé un message aux deux co-présidents, je ne sais plus si c'était séparément ou conjointement, aux deux co-présidents parce qu'il y avait les directeurs coopération de l'UMOA et affaires relations extérieures de la CDAO qui avaient co-présidé la réunion des experts. Et cette orientation ou bien proposition de le faire plus tard a été reprise à la réunion avec le commissaire et avec les deux commissaires qui étaient présents. Donc, bon, nous, on n'a pas été à l'atelier d'Abuja qui a suivi pour cause de contraintes. Mais depuis, pour plusieurs raisons, nous n'avons pas pu avancer sur le dossier. Et la semaine dernière même, avec la première réunion qui a eu lieu le 14 de l'Union africaine sur le dossier PIDA en ce qui concerne les ressources en eau, nous n'avons pas pu participer. On a travaillé avec GWP, Afrique de l'Ouest ici, et Bassin de la Volta, l'autorité du Bassin de la Volta, avec qui nous avons essayé de préparer une présentation qui devait être faite sur la situation. Mais justement, la présentation de cette présentation a été reportée pour demain, je crois. Oui, pour demain, ça figure à l'agenda de demain. Et donc, étant entendu qu'il reste encore beaucoup à faire de notre côté, on en avait discuté la dernière fois, on s'est dit nous-mêmes de notre côté qu'on devait se retrouver pour faire le point et avancer sur les dossiers qui peuvent être poussés un peu plus par rapport à la situation actuelle afin d'avoir des choses dans les pipelines. Mais ce qui est sûr, il y a un certain nombre de projets. Il y avait quelques dossiers dans le domaine des ressources en eau qui sont bons, des projets multisecteurs ou bien énergie seulement qui étaient déjà inscrits. Donc, et qui avait beaucoup de peine à avancer. On s'est entendu qu'il va falloir faire le point et voir comment avancer. Donc là, je sollicitais juste avant la collaboration, bien l'appui de nos collègues de la CDAO, le coordonnateur Chris Appia, et nos collègues du PPDU, le directeur Keba et Chukumbi, et je disais que Chukumbi avait participé même à la dernière réunion, il avait rencontré le collègue qui était, mais je crois que notre collègue de GWP n'avait pas pu se rencontrer là-bas. Donc, avec leur appui, pour qu'on puisse faire l'état des lieux et voir rapidement, en lien avec les États membres, parce que c'est d'abord les États membres, tant du côté de la CEDEAO que des organismes du bassin, qu'on puisse savoir comment débloquer les situations pour lesquelles il y a des difficultés et les nouvelles initiatives qu'il est possible d'envisager. Et je croyais que j'avais terminé en disant que nous avons essentiellement deux approches, deux préoccupations, bien deux domaines de projet, ce qui concerne la création ou bien le développement d'un environnement favorable à une meilleure gestion des ressources en eau transfrontière, qui sont plus des questions de politique de réglementation et autres, parce que il y a la CEDEAO même qui vient d'adopter, qui est en train d'adopter une directive sur les ressources en eau transfrontière. Les organismes de bassin ont des chartes qui couvrent les pays appartenant à chaque organisme de bassin. Et vous imaginez qu'il est évident que quand un seul pays appartient à différents organismes de bassin et que les chartes ne sont pas harmonisées ou bien cohérentes, il peut se poser quelques problèmes si certaines situations se présentent. Donc, il y a ce côté-là de ce côté-là qui est soft et le côté hard qui concerne la construction des ouvrages hydrauliques multisecteurs, comme ça a été discuté précédemment ce matin ou pas. Donc, je disais également que les participants du secteur de l'eau qui participent à cette réunion pouvaient intervenir pour dire des choses en attendant qu'on se retrouve avec la facilitation que j'ai souhaitée de PPDU, de CRIS et de l'Union africaine, du PIDA, pour avancer sur le secteur des ressources en eau. Voilà, merci.
OK, thank you very much. Merci beaucoup.
Je t'en prie.
I'm looking forward to the day that the French version will be shorter than the other versions.
Are you sure?
Thank you. Yes. So that is an overview of the projects and the suggested way forward with the Water Resource Center. Just a quick comment on the Jerry on your section.
Yeah,
we've been made to understand. Mm-hmm. Whilst we try to follow the process of regionalization, in order to make up time, we have also been advised to allow the direct submission of projects, which would be seen as passing the regional integration eligibility criteria. So I'm going to suggest that in addition to what you have rightly proposed, that we do a quick internal identification process with our water basins and the member states. Since you know the sector has already established projects, which some of which are even ongoing, which we all know are cross-border. You could authorize, coordinate the owners of those projects.
Yeah.
Immediately start loading them. Once you authorize them, I would coordinate with AU to give them the appropriate access rights.
Okay.
So they start putting some of the projects there. Those that are clear, you know, those that do not require much of a discussion before being identified.
I don't know. Please
go ahead. Yes.
No, I don't know if you have time to look at the presentation we are supposed to make last on 14. Yes, on 14.
To prolong this one, because tomorrow we have the water resource section.
I'll look at the presentation.
Yes. I looked at it. Okay. Yes, I looked at it.
I think that is the current situation with our knowledge here.
Excellent. Okay. All right. So following from tomorrow's meeting and the other internal discussions, we would finalize those ones and
okay,
and see how we load them.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Someone from the resource sector will want to talk. I think you can take the floor for some few minutes.
Okay, that's acceptable. Please, any comments? In fact, on all the projects presented, if there are any comments, please.
ABV voudrait intervenir.
Okay, avancez, s'il vous plaît.
Okay, merci. Excusez-nous d'aller en français. Nous adhérons à tout ce que M. Thierry a présenté, la nécessité qu'on se retrouve, puisque notre sous-région, en matière de soumission des projets qu'on sort, il y a de gros boulot à faire, nous sommes un peu en retard. Il va falloir très rapidement qu'on se concerte pour voir la stratégie adoptée pour nous inscrire solidement au niveau de PIDA 2. L'autre chose que l'ABV souhaiterait, en attendant demain, qu'il fasse un petit survol pour donner une idée des projets du secteur de l'eau qu'il abordera demain en détail. L'ABV voudrait réaffirmer, avec l'appui de ses 6 États membres, que le projet qui nous tient à cœur, celui de Noumbiel, le barrage de Noumbiel, est un projet fédérateur pour nos 6 États et qui va véritablement permettre la sécurité énergétique, l'alimentation en eau et la sécurité alimentaire. Demain, on en parlera plus en détail. J'ai mon collègue juste à côté de moi, si vous permettez une minute, je lui laisse la parole.
Before you, can you introduce yourself? You are...
Okay. Mon nom, c'est Robert Yaovi Dessoissi, directeur exécutif de l'autorité du bassin de la Volta.
Good. Bien noté. Merci, directeur. Okay. Votre collègue?
Non, merci. Bonjour, moi je suis Dibi Biloko. Je crois que le directeur vient de dire ce que nous pensions. Hein. C'est juste remercier pour nous avoir associés à cette rencontre. C'est sûr qu'il y a un certain nombre de projets dans le secteur de l'eau. Et l'idée que nous avions, c'était juste que, effectivement, c'est vrai que ça va être abordé demain, mais que l'on puisse au moins citer ces projets ici pour qu'on ait une idée au cas où certains qui sont à cette réunion et qui ne seraient pas à la réunion de demain puissent en tout cas au moins mettre les noms sur les projets. C'était simplement ça. En tout cas, merci et félicitations à tous pour cette approche. Merci.
Ok, thank you.
On a fini la bénédiction.
Sorry, who is it?
No, nous avons fini d'intervenir.
Okay. Merci. Jerry, you want to summarize in English for my friends? The two interventions?
Okay. I will try. Okay. Our colleague say that they thank for who to for be allowing to attend this meeting to us with us, and say there is still a lot to do in water sector in our region because we are hiding very far back from some sub region with many problems. And they were requesting also to submit the so some projects which are already in the pipeline, and which you saw in the presentation we sent to you to present it. But I think for the Volta Authority, they just mentioned Noumbiel. I can say multi-sector dam, the project, which is very important for energy and agriculture in between the two countries, Ghana and Burkina Faso. And I think that is the what I can add. And
okay.
In my side, I think that this the current situation we sent to you, I think it's better that all of the focal point of the sub-region from member states and river basin authority. I don't know if some were able to join us online. I will send them again today a message. I think that as we haven't up to date with the member states, the current situation is not, and those projects where we are now, I'm not yet sure that they can fit in the criteria, some more specific criteria. As the regional project is okay, and so then I think we can save some minutes and to send that. That document to all the West Africa focal point to look at it before it will present it will be present tomorrow, and also that will be a baseline for the work we are supposed to do.
Excellent. Okay. Thank you. Just some comments in the chat section. Dr. Wofi. Yeah. You've seen the question directed to on telecoms. Is Dr. Kofi with us?
Maybe Chris, what I could suggest, if you could run through the list of questions, that would be easier.
Okay.
And I,
okay.
I think
I'm there.
Okay. Just any a minute, issue? Just a minute. I have a question for you. I'll read it soon. Let Krishna finish. Dr. Krishna, please.
No, I was saying actually, thank you, Chris. We may be running out of time. We have to be careful about time. We already passed 3 o'clock. So we can extend. The link is valid for another 25 minutes. That's not a problem. What I wanted to say is very quickly is I think Olushola from African Union raised a question about the list of water projects. I guess we do not have a list such as in the other three sectors for the water sector. This is what you initially said. Maybe you can confirm this. Is that the case? Why we didn't see the list? Because we don't have the list actually for water sector.
Yeah, at the time of compiling that we didn't have yet. But that's what they have explained.
Okay. So
indicative list that we'll be looking at tomorrow and they will share with all water sector. Experts.
Maybe before you take the two questions in the chat, I would just like to comment on a few things that is very relevant to what you presented before. One of them is that when you look at the list of long list of projects you presented in the three sectors, the digital sector, energy, and transport sector, what I realize is that, and since it was also mentioned earlier that ECOWAS. It would be unfair for ECOWAS just to have 10 projects because you have so many, actually maybe 50 projects already in that list. But be careful that, be aware that some of the projects which you just showed to us, for example, the one on ICT, the one on ICT which crosses two regions, UMA and West Africa, could actually be treated as a third category of projects which do not count in your quota of 10 regional projects, because it would be unfair to count it in your quota, in the West African quota, if it also benefits another region. So this could be a bonus project which doesn't eat in the quota. The second point is the islands, the SIDS. You mentioned Cape Verde. Unfortunately, yeah. I think because maybe of language issues, we don't have many focal points from Cape Verde. We didn't really manage, although I know you put us in touch with them, but maybe we did not yet have a much response. But that doesn't prevent Cape Verde as a SIDS. You know, the SIDS benefit from bonus projects. I mean, projects over and above the regional continental quota. So I think the two countries that could benefit under that would be Guinea-Bissau, which in many instances they are treated as SIDS, and Cape Verde. So that would be, again, any projects which you could categorize under SIDS from that list would actually be in the PDAPAP 2 without counting in the quota. The other point I noted actually is this thing about 20,000 villages, which is a very interesting project. It's one of I personally worked on a rural electrification project in Burkina Faso when I was at the bank, at the African Development Bank. And even though this may not strictly speaking be an infrastructure project that cuts across boundaries, whatever, but the spirit, the essence of the project is that it's building critical mass in a region, in an expertise, maybe in the logistics of the equipment. So I think that is a very interesting case of a new, I would say, type of industrialization. It's like an industrial activity that will industrialize the electrification through massification, through maybe central procurement, standardization of models and equipment, etc. I think that is a very, very interesting project. And lastly, you mentioned about youth entrepreneurship in ICT. What you could also do if this project doesn't strictly meet the criteria of PIDA, there are other facilities. I know that for example, the youth entrepreneurship and innovation scheme, there's a trust fund at the level of the African Development Bank that does provide on a competitive basis funding, grant funding, to such types of initiatives to which you could pitch. And lastly, concerning the water sector, I think before you join in this earlier, our colleague Jonas, actually, our water expert, is still with us. He mentioned maybe earlier to me this morning, he mentioned to me that one of the areas maybe we could be looking at in the water sector are these wetlands or marshes, whatever. So try to think of this also as a potential water resource, potentially transboundary or with cross-border impacts, which you could take up under the water sector. I think I'll stop here, and maybe we can look at the two questions in the chat and take up another live questions.
Thank you very much. Thank you. These are very, very, very useful comments that we will take on board whilst we look at the submissions. So to the questions, just before that, we should note that this is a formal meeting. So there's a request for all participants to type their names, organizations, and contact details and country in the chat section so that the attendance list could be collated. Please do that. It's very, very necessary. The question on water sector has been answered. This will be looked at tomorrow. Dr. Kofi, there's a question from Madam Ngozi saying, what exactly do we want to achieve with the cybersecurity project? I guess at the regional level, since member states have developed their data protection policy guidelines as well as CERT. Moreover, how many regional IXPs do we need in the sub-region when the regional IXPN has provision for more users to hook up to the facilities? So that is for Dr. Kofi. Ibrahim said, please, who do I contact on issues on the transboundary water projects? Can I have the name and contact? Ibrahim, the name is Jerry Alassani. Monsieur Jerry Alassani, Principal Program Officer with the Water Resources Center. He'll be typing his email address and telephone number for for us all to have. Yes, so I think these are the two questions I picked up.
Chris.
Yes.
This is Abdulrahman. Can I just butt in 1 minute?
Please regarding, go ahead.
Regarding, yes. Regarding the cybersecurity and fighting against crime. I don't know what the situation is in terms of West Africa, but the Africa Union Cybersecurity Convention has been signed by 15 countries, I think, and it's ratified by about 5. So, and I think one of the things that we need to do, I know a number of African countries or West African countries have some hybrid of some sort in terms of cybersecurity and data protection policies and legislative framework, but I also think that we should try and make sure that all West African countries sign and ratify the AUCC and also look at the framework in terms of setting up a data protection authority, as well as making sure that the legislations are up to date, because we've done some studies and you find that the frameworks that a number of the countries adopt are not holistic. Some will have a policy, but they won't have the legislation, or they have a legislation, but there is no policy. And all these things that we need to do to facilitate post-COVID digital economy and digital trade and education, we need to make sure that we have this cybersecurity framework, both legislation, policies, and the units that deal with cybercrime are in place. And I think this should be very important to make sure that it forms part of the PIDA, PAP, to continental framework and continental projects, and it should be coming out from each region. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you, Abdu, from the Auda NEPAD agency. Yes, Dr. Kofi? We have just about 20 minutes to round up, even less. So, is Dr. Kofi with us? Okay. Whilst we wait for him to come on board, I think we can move on.
Bonjour. How are you, Chris? And all?
I'm okay. Please, who is speaking?
Mr. Kamara from Senegal.
Oh, okay. Director.
Hello, brother. Are you fine?
I'm very well. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Let me speak in French. Je salue tout le monde. J'ai suivi effectivement les débats depuis le début. Je voudrais saluer cette initiative qui nous permet de coordonner nos actions, effectivement, au niveau du continent, au niveau de la région. J'adhère à tout ce qui a été dit. Juste par rapport aux projets qu'il faut aussi peut-être envisager, et qui sont certainement en cours, de prendre en considération ce que quelqu'un vient de dire tout à l'heure, la liaison entre la région ouest-africaine et l'UMA, l'Union du Maghreb arabe, dans la poursuite du corridor côtier à partir de Saint-Louis, donc Thiès-Dakar, Thiès-Saint-Louis, Rosso, Mauritanie, pour aller vers Tanger. Ce projet, effectivement, n'est pas identifié sur ce qui a été retenu pour le moment dans les projets à soumettre au niveau du PIDAPAP 2. Mais il faut reconnaître déjà qu'il y a des actions qui sont en cours avec la construction du pont de Rosso entre le Sénégal et la Mauritanie, financée par la Banque africaine de développement, l'Union européenne et la Banque européenne d'investissement. Donc, le Sénégal, dans sa stratégie, envisage effectivement de raccorder Thiès et Saint-Louis par une autoroute du fait que l'aménagement autoroutier est déjà arrivé au niveau de Thiès. Donc, pour aller justement à Rosso et continuer dans le territoire mauritanien pour rejoindre Tanger, et ça, c'est la suite du corridor côtier de l'autre côté. Donc, je voudrais un peu parler de ça. Et on va approfondir certainement les échanges avec la CEDEAO pour voir la possibilité, en tout cas, de prendre en considération ce genre de projet intégrateur. Voilà ce que je voulais dire tout en adhérant à tout ce qui a été dit depuis le départ. Je vous remercie.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Director. That's a very good project. Thanks for bringing it up. And as you've said, let's have a bilateral discussion on this. We request for some just a quick concept note. I'll discuss with the commissioner, and we can include that project. Exactly. And with the information we got from Dr. Krishna on the bonus projects, that is also a very good project which cuts across two regs. So it has all the ingredients to be considered. We will look at that.
Merci beaucoup. Okay, merci beaucoup. Merci.
Okay. Yes. Thank you. So we will try and wrap up. Krishna, are there any other comments? Member states, focal points, please. Directors, if you have any questions following this, we've put our email addresses, telephone numbers. You can reach us with project questions. We can also use the platform on the PDAPAP 2 website. Drop some messages. We will see and address them.
Yes,
Krishna, any comments?
Actually, I think the most important outcome today, if I may say, is that we could continue the discussion. Actually, very interesting discussions. You can see the live interaction, which is happening voice, but then the same type of interaction. My point, which I was trying to make, is that once these projects are on the website, it becomes visible, and then we can have a much more focused discussion on a particular project by these types of comments being exchanged on the website and through the discussion forum. And I would invite you to maybe to accelerate this process, since we maybe have we are a bit late with this. If you could please allocate these access rights, we can facilitate that, and we are here also available to assist in the process if members have difficulties in entering projects and data entry, etc. We can assist with this also. So please accelerate this, and then this type of discussion, very rich discussion on the content, technical discussions, can continue on the discussion forum in a very live format, even offline format, actually very flexible format, where we can continue adding value in the process. So I think that would be my main message, if we could accelerate and get most of the project on the website as soon as possible.
Yes, I'm online. Oh, sorry.
Okay. Hey, Chris, can I please come in?
Yes. Ali, go on.
Yeah.
Oh, I was just going to say there's two hand raised. I'm not sure, Chris, if you can see them. Mamadou, and obviously the second one is Yakuba.
Okay, so Yakuba, please go ahead. Yes, then after you will be Mamadou. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Merci, Chris. Bonjour, collègue. Pour moi, c'est très simple. J'ai vu que you have put FOMI on the list of energy projects. And if we see current now in PDAPAP 1, the same FOMI was like tagged as a water project. Is there, has there been a shift in the project objectives? The second element is about the backbone. You mentioned two national backbones in Guinea-Bissau and in Liberia. I don't know if Dr. Kofi is still online. Yeah, those looks like national backbones, huh? But are they going to be linked with the other backbones that will make them regional projects?
Okay, thank you.
Hello?
Can I? Yes, Mamadou Samba Diallo.
Okay, merci Chris. Bonjour tout le monde, bonjour chers collègues. Donc, je voulais juste intervenir sur deux points. Le premier, c'est d'abord des projets. Si on regarde un peu sur le plan de développement du corridor Praia-Dakar, il y a des projets qui sont inscrits dans ce plan-là, qui certainement seront versés dans le PIDA-PAP 2, éventuellement. Mais certains de ces projets ont déjà commencé et ont déjà des financements. Peut-être il faudrait les voir pour ne pas les intégrer sur notre liste régionale. Le second point, c'est que quand on va retenir la liste des projets pour ECOWAS et les verser sur la grande liste de l'Union africaine, éventuellement, il y a eu certains projets qui ont connu des évolutions, par exemple, qui étaient en phase d'études préliminaires, mais aujourd'hui qui sont en étude de faisabilité. Donc, il sera bien que sur les projets retenus, que les pays ou les groupes de pays concernés donnent les dernières informations pour qu'on puisse avoir plus de chances sur la priorisation des projets au niveau continental. Donc voilà les deux points sur lesquels je voulais intervenir. Merci.
Thank you, Diallo. Sorry, I was calling Dr. Kofi to reconnect to answer the ICT questions. I got the second part of your question, but the first part, can you repeat it? You said that Dakar, Abidjan.
No, maybe I can summarize in English, probably, Mamadou, if you
okay.
Want. Yeah. So what?
Okay, go on.
What Mamadou was saying is that we have to be careful about the fact that some of the projects which are in the shortlist you presented may have evolved in the meantime in terms of studies and detailed studies. And probably there's a need actually for member states to communicate these latest evolutions so that they are taken on board in the process of submission. And this is where actually I would like to reiterate actually, if once these projects are visible, then member states or wider member states or, you know, apart from the focal points, we also have other registered users from governments, member states who see actually have visibility, they would then be able to spot that things have moved and make a comment which can then enrich the project. So yet another reason for having the projects online as soon as possible. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I think that's a good response. Exactly. And to add to that, Mamadou, we will be contacting project specific focal persons to either give more information or be given the rights to either put projects or update some of these projects. And as Dr. Krishna has said, once we put them up, there is the opportunity for comments to be made on, you know, proposed revision or updating of some of the information we will put there. So we work together on this. Is that okay? Are you fine?
Please let me respond because my battery can be down very
can
soon.
Come down now. Okay, all right. So first, Director Ngozi was asking. Yes, was asking why the need for, what do you exactly wish to achieve with the cybersecurity project, since member states have developed their data protection policy guidelines as well as the CERT? And then how many regional IXPS do we need in the sub-region when the region IXPN has provision for more users to hook up to the facilities?
Okay, thank you. Let's start by the IXP. IXP, the regional IXP cannot work without the national IHPs. I know that in the framework of Axis project funded by EU, Nigeria ISP received a support. I don't know if it's effective now, a support to become a regional ISP. I didn't have the update. Maybe she can update me on this issue. But right now, many countries don't have national ISP. We cannot go straightly to have a regional ISP ask a national internet provider to connect directly to the regional ISP, because this will not cut down the price, the cost of at national level, the internet access. As two providers, customers need to go through the regional ISP to exchange message before coming back to the country. So all the member states need to have their own national ISPs. This is clear. After that, if we need to move to use our regional ISP to concentrate our regional traffic at the regional ISP level, that's fine. This is one. Coming back to the cybersecurity, we are in a community. We don't work as a country. I know that Nigeria have done a lot in terms of data protection and cyber crime law. Many countries also have it, but few countries have CSIRT capability, have forensic, digital forensic lab existing in their country. All the member states have need to have CSIRT, national CSIRT. After in Nigeria, even they are thinking about having sectorial CERT, she said, because it's a big country, so energy can have its CERT, transport can have its CERT, and so on. But our ECOWAS is focused on national CERT. So, one, we need to provide CERT to all the member states and provide digital laboratory to all the member states and provide capacity building to all the member states. Right now, we are developing the we are finalizing the regional cybersecurity strategy. We will assist all the member states to develop also national cybersecurity strategy and also national critical infrastructure protection policy. So there are a lot to do. And bear in mind that our sector is very evolving. It's not because we have set up a CSIRT. That's all. We need to provide capacity building constantly and do a kind of cyber dream. Let the national CSIRT to cooperate, to exchange experience. So when there is a kind of regional attack, they can cooperate easily. There are a lot of to do. It will not work at individual level. Maybe Nigeria, I don't know all the capability Nigeria has. Nigeria, I know that they have CSIRT, but Nigeria need to collaborate with the other member states, not to work standalone. So I, once again, I say we are in a sector with very evolving. Cyber criminality is increasing. Cyber attack are becoming more and more sophisticated. So you need to review your strategy, how to combat, to protect your infrastructure, how to combat your essential services in each country and in the whole region. So there are a lot of things to do. There is not, it's not a question to have one CSIRT and finish. So I'll stop now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so you don't lose your battery. There was another question from Yaguba.
Yeah,
Mr. Yaguba, if you can repeat it, please.
Okay, Monsieur Kofi, en fait, je voudrais savoir parce que vous avez mentionné deux projets là de la Guinée-Bissau. Vous avez dit des backbones nationaux en Guinée-Bissau et au Libéria.
Libéria.
Bon, en entendant le nom de ces projets, ça a l'air d'être des projets nationaux. Maintenant, est-ce que ces backbones là vont être interconnectés avec des autres backbones? Est-ce que c'est des c'est des chaînes non manquantes dans la liste de vos backbones.
Exactement, c'est ce que j'ai expliqué quand j'ai présenté le projet. Peut-être que j'ai présenté en anglais, donc c'était mal compris. Mais je disais que l'objectif de la CEDEAO de l'Union africaine, c'est d'avoir tous les pays interconnectés. Donc, si aujourd'hui, le Libéria n'a pas de backbone national, il ne peut pas s'interconnecter aux autres pays voisins. C'est-à-dire, aujourd'hui, le Libéria est connecté seulement qu'avec les pays qui ont un câble sous-marin, via le seul câble qui est ACE. Par contre, si le Libéria a son backbone qui est développé, le Libéria sera connecté de façon terrestrièrement à la Côte d'Ivoire, à la Guinée et à la Sierra Leone. Ça veut dire que si aujourd'hui le landing point du Libéria est défaillant, on a vu le cas du Bénin, et ça a pris une semaine avant que le Bénin puisse avoir une connectivité internationale. Si le landing point du Libéria est down, on peut utiliser la connectivité terrestre entre la Côte d'Ivoire ou entre la Guinée ou entre la Sierra Leone pour router les trafics vers l'international. Donc, l'objectif de finaliser ces backbones nationaux, c'est de pouvoir les interconnecter à tous leurs pays voisins et ainsi former un backbone régional complet. C'est-à-dire tous les pays seront interconnectés entre eux. Et je reviens parce que nous avons le projet de roaming. La difficulté que les opérateurs télécoms nous font aujourd'hui, ils disent qu'il n'y a pas de connectivité directe entre les pays. Voilà leur argument pour lequel ils traînent depuis longtemps. Donc, avoir des connectivités directes entre les pays voisins, c'est notre objectif. Et pour le faire, il faudrait que les backbones nationaux soient opérationnels. Voilà pourquoi pour nous, le backbone national du Libéria et le backbone national du Guinée-Bissau sont des chaînons manquants pour créer notre backbone régional. Merci.
Thank you very much, Doc. Thank you. I think that, and I've seen that.
Chris, I had this question for me.
Yes, I'll respond to that. Yes.
Just to add to Dr. Kofi's statement.
Okay, go ahead.
Because you see, it's important. If you don't have a national backbone, you can't connect your neighbors. The landing points are all right, but we need to have a continuous network so that calls won't be going to Europe to be exchanged and then come back down. If you have the national backbones, both for Liberia and Guinea, what then would happen is you can then connect Liberia, Guinea, Sierra Leone, even Mali, Senegal, Guinea-Bissau, Gambia, all into one mesh network. So it's important not just to look at the landing points, but to look at the national backbones, especially for countries in West Africa that do not have a national backbone. For us to complete the whole network, if we're talking about digital economy tomorrow or post-COVID, if these networks are not in place, let's just forget it. So they should be part of the PDAPAP too, and also the cybersecurity. I'll come back to that. That's also important.
Okay, thank you. Madam Olusola's hand has been raised. Madam Olusola, please, you have the floor. Sorry, I've been missing some of the hands.
Yes, thank you. Chris, good afternoon. I raised my hand because I noticed that some of your river basins and also your transboundary focal points are online, and to tell them that we would want all of them to be at tomorrow's meeting. So in case they have not received the invitation, they can contact Dr. Krishna. They can sign their names on this chat note, so that Charlie will give all the names that request for them to be included in tomorrow's meeting, since you have not concluded on your transboundary water project, so that way we can discuss tomorrow. Thank you. All your water regional water contacts, both the river basins and the waters and the centers of water excellence. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much. Thank you. So our water sector focal persons, please take note of that. I also recognize that
thank you.
Marcel Bawen did some shared a link about the internet exchange point of Nigeria in the chat section. Okay, just to quickly answer Yaguba's question on FOMI. Yaguba, as I said, the name of the project is the FOMI Multipurpose Dam Project. And as you well know, for the energy and water sector projects, some of them have very thin lines, you know, differentiating them. But not to even speak too much about it, the revised WAP master plan, currently adopted by all the member states, has the FOMI multipurpose dam identified as one of the projects. So the WAP master plan are not just energy projects, let me put it like that, but then it takes the project with all its components as will be prepared. So in terms of going by updated information, I would suggest that let's discard what was in the PIDA PAP 1 or the AID. The current WAP master plan approved by ECOWAS has that, and that will be the sector that would coordinate that. Of course, in most of the projects, they work hand in hand with the water basins and water resources focal persons. So on the modus operandi, they have the two, you know, interlinking and working on them. It's just the identification of the project that may belong here or here, depending on the weight of the sector that holds the highest stakes in it. I've seen our colleagues from WAPA still on. They can add on if they have to. If not, we take another question or we bring the meeting to an end. We have really, really overstayed our welcome. So are there any other questions, any comments? Okay, if not, I'll just give just a summary, try to summarize the main takeaways. One, that we are very late with the submission of projects. It's been extended, so we have to take advantage of this. The other thing is that as a region, we've already gained some time by preparing some of these master plans, and then shortlists have been proposed from the master plans. So that's going to serve as the basis. Countries who still have projects that meet the regional integration criteria should still contact the focal persons. We've shared our emails to quickly discuss with us. Once it's approved, we will grant you the access rights to upload the project on the website. Project uploading will start from today. In fact, we are not going to go through the long process that we've been talking about. Once we have all gone through the process, the projects, and the intentions we have, we will start loading the projects right from now. So the second focal points at the level of ECOWAS and those who will be given the access rights, please take note that you can start loading the projects. As Krishna said, once the projects are physically there, then we can start the discussion as to whether to keep them or not. Then of very, very much importance is the need for us to look at, I said, the document called the strategy. I'll share that. The strategy document, which summarizes the criteria that will be used. there is no need putting projects that will be rejected. So please, let's try and make sure these projects at least will meet the eligibility criteria before we bring them up for loading. On the number of projects, the AUC has shied away from giving a definite comment, but what is coming up is that so long as you put as many good projects as possible on the site, it will give the task force a greater headache of not choosing those projects. So please, let's put as many good projects as we will have on the site and leave it to the task force for that. What we would need, just a clarification from AUC, is the issue of the membership of the RECs in the task force. I think a mention was made of it. Either it will be consultative or whatever. In your closing remarks, Dr. Krishna, you want to touch on that so we know how our involvement, because somebody made a point, I think it was Dr. Kofi, it's very necessary that the project owners or coordinated at the regional level are part of the consultations on the screening as much as possible so that we give real information to projects that the committee may not have comments on, knowledge about. Yeah, so I think that will be my summary.
Please,
Krishna, you have any comments to add?
Please.
Yes, Jerry.
No, just to thank you, just to remind what Madam Lushola said for the meeting, tomorrow meeting for water resource sector. And also to, I think you didn't recall our request for the specific work supposed to be done in water resource area.
Oh, okay. No, that's at our level. So it's been accepted. Well, we'll work with you. I'll talk with you personally.
Okay.
So we schedule that one. And then also we all participate in the water resource webinar tomorrow. I've seen Dr. Krishna said some information.
Yes. Chris, actually, I've pasted the link for tomorrow. Normally, it's also available from the website, but I just pasted the link, the Zoom link and the password for tomorrow, if those of you just want to save it somewhere, so that you can connect tomorrow. Then I also reminded the colleagues that the documents, actually the main documents you were referring to, the strategic note and analytical report, are always available, are available for download if you've lost them or if you need the latest version. It's on the website, on the homepage actually, it's public document, and these are the only two public documents, including the FAQs are public. Everything else is for login users, that is for you, users, registered users with a login and password. So you are welcome to refer to these. Concerning the question about the REC membership, this has been, we have raised this to the attention of the task force. But as you know, the task force was set up itself by the STC. So it's a ministerial declaration setting up the task force, mandating the task force to do this work. So it's not a decision the task force can take itself to upgrade its membership. But you also know that there was supposed to be in the process the Continental Validation Workshop. At this stage, we cannot say whether it will happen physically, a physical meeting in Addis or somewhere. But what we can say that it will happen by default, actually, we can assume it will happen in a virtual format if circumstances permit, that is travel bans and restrictions are eased out, then we can think of something. But honestly, I think we should be planning for a virtual event. But that would be the opportunity for everybody, the RECs, member states, to raise their concerns and to participate in the discussion, in the choice or shortlisting of projects. So there's a lot of, And again, I tend to re-emphasize this, that the use of the website is very critical, actually. There's a lot of discussions which can happen on the website through the discussion forum, including discussion with the task force members who are very active. All of them are connected. We meet. We have now regular meetings, weekly, bi-weekly meetings among task force members and ourselves. And then we can bring up these points, but we need the raw materials. The raw materials are the questions, the discussions, the debates happening around projects. So please, once all these projects are up there on the website, then these key questions, these questions to the task force members actually can be raised, your point of view, your comments can be taken on board actually. But this is the whole point actually. Everything, I think we need to get used to this now. Everything will happen virtual, online for at least a foreseeable future. So let's make use of it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I think that summarizes everything. Thank you for the information. So we'll keep consulting each other to move this forward. Thank you, Dr. Krishna and the AU team. Thank you, the task force members who spent time to be with us throughout. I think you've seen that the region is very serious. So you would accord us more projects and consider our projects favorably. Thank you very much. Colleagues from the ECOWAS Commission, directors, we are very grateful for your time. Our directors in the member states, as we said, you are the project owners, and we are doing this for you. So thank you so much for participating. We are available for any follow-up discussions you may have, either on the website or through WhatsApp, through emails, or any other means that you deem appropriate. Thank you for our regional bodies, WAP, the water basins, PPDU. We thank you all for joining us for this session. So with this said, I think that brings to a close our meeting for today. We will meet tomorrow with the water sector participants only. Thank you very much. Let's stay safe. Good afternoon from Abuja. And good evening wherever you are.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for all. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. And see you tomorrow by the grace of
God. Yes, Madam Olusha.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Okay. See you guys tomorrow. Have a nice day.
Thank you.
Bye. Have a nice day.
Nice day too. Bye.
Abdu, thank you. I forgot Auda Nepat. Thank you very much. And the team.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Our brothers and sisters. Okay.